Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tales from the Fog. I'm your host, Casey, and with me, as always, is the amazing, wonderful Veronica. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. What a October slash beginning of November it has been.
Wow. This was a really busy month.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. So we did a Not Scary Farm podcast, which we recorded live at Knott's, and unfortunately, the audio was completely useless, so I didn't post it because it was horrible. You know, I would like to put out decent podcasts. I don't like to be too horrible. And I was listening to it, and I'm like, no, I can't put it out. So no. We'll get to it eventually. But we're actually probably just going to talk about it during this podcast, so we might as well just start off with our Not Scary Farm thoughts. What do you want to start with?
So our last podcast that we had to ditch, we talked about every single venue, every single show, and all that good stuff. So for the sake of brevity, we can just discuss the stuff that's new for this year or updated for this year, and then anything else in particular that kind of jumps out at us. How do you feel about that?
That's cool.
Okay. So would you like to start with shows or with mazes or with scare zones?
Let's start with shows.
Okay.
So the Hanging this year, I absolutely loved it. I think it's one of their strongest hangings that they've had in years and years and years.
Agreed.
I'm not sure what the reason was. I think for a long time, the topics that they were picking, I had just outgrown pop culture. I don't keep up. I don't watch TMZ. None of that stuff, appeals to me at all. I don't follow celebrities or anything like that. So when, they bring people on stage, I'd be like, who the hell is that?
Yeah.
But this year, the political climate and everything is just so in your face on every front that you can't help but know all the players that they used in the show. And I think that played to the strength of all the jokes.
It did. And then the celebrities that they did bring out, like, there was still a fair share that I didn't know because, I'm not in my 20s and we don't watch live TV. We have a Roku, so we watch things that we choose. Yeah. We don't get commercials. We don't get the news typically.
Yeah.
And what we do get is in the echo chamber of Facebook. So if it's not already in our world, we're probably not going to see it. So
yes.
There were still some celebrities that I was like, who is that? But I don't recall that happening too much.
No. One of the big ones that was like a key focus was the backpack kid.
I remember that because
I saw that video.
I saw it on Facebook. I'm sure everyone saw it on Facebook if they didn't see it live.
So
everyone except you.
My friends are cool and don't post that kind of crap.
Well, apparently I have some a-holes on mine who did post it. Just kidding. If you're the one who posted it, I laughed. I may have even liked the video. You're welcome. So I really liked the show. I thought that, I look at the stunts because I love them. I thought they were great. Actually, some of the recurring players, I was very impressed with how they did. But I loved it. I thought the stunt choreography was cool and, predictable in a good way because mm-hmm. you go to the Hanging looking for a certain kind of thing and they delivered on that certain kind of thing. I loved that they turned this into a quasi musical.
That was very unexpected and I absolutely loved it as well. It was kind of like one of those things that you didn't know you wanted until it happened. And then you're like, yes, this is what the show's been missing.
It's like, it was so not out of place that it was what was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. The characters that they chose and the costumes and the songs.
Oh my God.
It was very, very well done, writers of The Hanging. That was a lot of fun. And there were some good comedic parts that the actors got to play that kind of came in. Like there was the girl with the bell from.
Yeah.
My God, something so simple was so visually perfect. I mean, that character stands out as one of the funniest bits that they had in the show, because yeah. just the look on her face and the way she was
so straight, which was awesome.
It was magical. I thought that was incredibly fun. So I thought that it was a really fun, entertaining, you know, vulgar and just enough of the ways kind of show. And it, and like always, it's very self-aware, and I can appreciate that it is. So it makes fun of itself. It doesn't feel like it needs to adhere to a nice clean plot, because why bother? And it did it very well.
Yeah, it was good. Mm-hmm.
And they didn't break the law as far as we know.
No, I think they were safe on all the stuff that they did. Mm-hmm. They couldn't really get in trouble like they have in the past.
Yeah, well, I mean, at this point, but it was like federal offense.
I did hear that it was a little more hardcore the first weekend if you went and saw it, and they pulled back some of the stuff the second weekend. But that's just kind of the way the hanging is. The first weekend, they go full bore until they get complaints about something, and then they'll kind of pull it back a little bit. That's just usually the way it does. Yeah, so if you want to see like the most hardcore version, you pretty much have to go opening night.
I suppose so. I was trying to find videos of it because I really wanted a sound clip of their song "Desperate People."
Yeah,
which is a parody of the song "Despacito" by Justin Bieber. And I really just wanted to listen to that song alone because it was so beautiful. It was so well done. And I just loved it, and I could not find one. So if I'm sure it's on there in YouTube land somewhere, but at the time, I couldn't find it. But if anyone wants to get me that for Christmas, I want it as my ringtone. So yeah, good job hanging.
Yeah, hanging. Awesome. And then, of course, Elvira's last year at Knott's Scary Farm. Mm-hmm. I hadn't seen the show since probably, I want to say maybe trying to think, because there was one year that I worked Haunt that they actually, when they did the maze like walkthroughs for the training days, they actually allowed everybody to go and watch a dress rehearsal.
Oh,
and I want to say it was either 2002 or 2003, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So that was the last time I'd actually ever seen one of her shows. And it was early dress rehearsal, so it was a lot of kinks to be worked out.
Mm-hmm.
But as a family, my family would go, and that was the one thing that we had to do every time we went to Scary Farm was see the Elvira show. It was there. And I have to say that this year was probably her best performance ever at Knott's Scary Farm.
Aww.
Like, I loved everything about it. I love that they brought the couch back from her TV show.
Yeah.
I loved kind of all the little throwbacks to her previous career.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything about it was awesome. And she was amazing.
And beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, the dancers were amazing. And they focused, it was a good balance. So there's been years past where it's been, Elvira kind of hosted it, but it was much, leaned way more heavily on the dancers and the dance routines and things.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I think there was a really good balance of her versus the other stuff going on.
And there was more reflection on Elvira's of the past.
Yeah.
And they played into that, making it more of a focus of the story instead of just that carefree, oh, look at us sing and dance kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was definitely an appreciation of what she has, you know, brought to entertainment in the decades that she had been a part of it.
Yeah.
But can I tell you a secret?
What?
Before you and I went, I had never been to an Elvira show.
What? Do you remember her TV show from when you were a kid?
I want to say that I do, but I don't know if that's a memory that I have created. I remember seeing her when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I remember her from her TV show. And I think I may have seen a snippet of her in that movie when she was like getting gas and then drove away and then someone flicked a cigarette and then the whole thing went kaboom. If that's even her, I don't even know.
I think that was.
Okay, good.
She's been in a couple movies, like cameos, and I think she's done one or two Elvira movies, mm-hmm. I want to say.
I just don't. And I feel kind of bad because I've always heard how wonderful she is and how nice she is. And I think I've even met her on a couple occasions without her whole getup on.
Yes, and she's just the coolest. We have met her as Cassandra Peterson. At Scare LA 2 years ago?
That's what I'm thinking,
I'm
too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, and it was kind of embarrassing to be like, yeah, I've heard of you. I've never actually seen anything you've done, but I know how wonderful you are.
Yeah.
You know, and we have friends who are just diehard fans of hers, you know, in and out of Elvira makeup. So when we went to her show, that was the first time I had ever seen an Elvira show at Knott's. And I was in love, and I was super mad at myself for never going before, because all of those times I could have seen this awesome show and I never did, and I never got to, you know, appreciate it for what it was while it was there.
Yeah.
And now it's over and I feel like an asshole, but I really loved her show. I loved the dancers. I loved the music. I love, oh my God, that dress.
Yeah.
The finale dress.
Oh, so good.
Oh my God. Just a work of art in itself.
And, you know, hats off to Knott's for going all out on that set. Like, her set was amazing this year.
They did a great job.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I kind of wish she was coming back again next year because it was just so good. It's like,
but that's the
it feels
that's
like
the
she's
thing.
Just like,
you want to leave. You want them wanting more, not, oh, thank God she's gone.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
you
true.
Want that.
She went out on a high note for sure.
Definitely. And I'm sure that was by design. And I understand she's not retiring, like she'll never be Elvira again. She's just not going to perform stage shows anymore.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
Well, she has her fashion line and a jewelry line.
Really?
Yeah. So you can actually buy some awesome clothes designed by Elvira.
Aww.
And some jewelry. I know there's one store in LA, I think, that's carrying it. They can go and check out, or I'm sure you could buy it online.
I'm sure you can buy everything online.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Good for her.
Yeah.
Little Miss Entrepreneur.
And, of course, it's going to be kind of like that high fashion goth style that she does.
So will it be more like 80s centric, where like the 80s style goth fab, or is it going to be modern?
Well, from what I saw in the news article, which they didn't show a whole bunch, but from what I saw, it's kind of like a mix.
Okay. Kind of like Rochelle's.
It's like if you did, so you know how they have like the new Mustangs and Camaros that look like the old Mustangs, but they're modern? That's what this clothing line looks like. So it's Elvira from the 80s modernized.
Ooh, well described.
There you go.
All right.
It's retro modern goth.
Cool.
Gosh, what else? Let's talk about scare zones. So let's start with, you know, Ghost Town, because that's easy. It was Ghost Town. It was awesome.
It was Ghost Town.
It was really, really dark this year. Like, I was surprised how, especially the first day we went, it was so dark in Fog Alley. It was almost like pitch black. You could not see where you were going. And then I think the second day that we went, there was a little bit more lighting, but it was still really dark.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. There's just ridiculously dark this year, which is cool. I mean, I don't know how. There was a lot less monsters in Fog Alley, and I wonder if that was because it was so dark. Maybe they were having a hard time moving around and scaring safely.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually you go through Fog Alley and it's just lit up with monsters.
Yeah.
And this time you'd go through and you'd see two or three maybe working it, and then not many more than that.
I wonder if that was by design.
Maybe.
Hmm. But the environment tends to dictate what the monsters are going to do, you know. If you have those whiteout conditions with the weird lighting and the fog that never stops, then you can't get a good scare unless you take that risk of you're basically flying blind.
Yeah.
And you're hoping
and
that
getting like right up on top of people.
Yeah.
Because you could walk, literally a monster could walk, you know, a foot away from you. You probably wouldn't see him.
Mm-mm.
Or you just kind of see something walk by.
You see something. It could was that a guest or was that a monster?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd like to get some intel on that. What it was like.
Yeah, because last year they had those cool, not gobos, but they had like those, like spots that kind of had a patterns,
mm-hmm.
and they had a couple of them pointing down into the fog, and it kind of lit it up a little more.
I think they had those this year too.
No,
not as many.
They had. The first night they went, they didn't have anything. The second time we went, there was one kind of really dim blue light that kind of went in the middle of the street, like pointed down towards it. And then they had the windows lit up on the tops of the second floors of the buildings, which they didn't have the first night either that we went.
I like that.
And that gave a little bit more light, but the street down below is still really dark.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see the usual east to west sliding from porch to porch outside of the picture gallery and on the other side where the Ghost Town Grill is.
Yeah.
There's usually a couple of monsters there kind of, you know, ping-ponging back and forth. And the only time I saw sliding happening there was when the roamers would come through and utilize those spots. So I wonder if it's because visibility was low or if management decided they didn't want any stagnant monsters. Who knows? Maybe we'll find out someday. But interesting choice.
Yeah, there's a lot more sliding going down towards Ghost Rider and then on Schoolhouse Road.
Which, I don't know how I feel about that because, I mean, sliders have always been there and they've always done amazing work. But it's such a high visibility area and, like, it lacks the mood that Ghost Town, at least Fog Alley, even Schoolhouse Road, you know, have that certain, like, you know, dark and gloomy, foggy kind of vibe to it. And then you go over by Ghost Rider and it's stores and a restaurant and a queue line for a roller coaster. Like, I never felt like I was still in Ghost Town, you know, in quotes, when I was over there. Got the crap scared out of me plenty of times. But as far as, like, being immersed in that atmosphere, I just never got that vibe over there.
Yeah, that's true.
But I guess if you're doing your job well, who cares? Yeah. Getting the scares.
Carnival was pretty much Carnival. It was shrunk down a lot because of the new roller coaster they're building. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like a half maze with all the work walls.
Yeah.
But they worked at it, and they were getting scares, but yeah.
They worked their butt off out there.
Yeah, I mean, Carnival's a hard area to work. But yeah, they did a good job there. Fiesta Village was awesome this year.
It was. Much more lively.
Much more lively. I loved, there was one time that we went through and there was the possession thing that was going on, which was really cool. Like one of the girls was pretending to be possessed and then the other ones were like praying over or something. And that was pretty cool. Like they had like the rosary beads kind of clutching them and stuff. And that was kind of fun to see playing on their folklore and all that. I would love to see them bring out more Mexican folklore, like, you know, La Llorona and the Mexican Boogeyman and La Chupacabra. Mm-hmm. Like, bring out some more cool characters, because now that it's a real scare zone, they should start bringing in some iconic characters, you know, to make the space feel more character-driven, I guess, as opposed to just a bunch of people dressed kind of the same.
Yeah. How terrifying would it be to see, like, a La Llorona in, like, the fountain? Yeah. Soaking wet. That would be creepy. Just that character alone.
Yeah, that'd be super cool. Mm-hmm. And then the big surprise this year was the Hollows, which started out last year. It was okay. I liked what they were doing, the idea behind it last year. And this year, they finally brought the whole thing to fruition. With all those little skits that they would do, which is really cool. I don't know. I loved it. I love the characters and I love the whole plot line that they did. And the finale show was really cool. What did you think?
I liked that they had a storyline going through the whole thing and that the characters that you saw, if you happened to catch one of those shows, it told you a little bit more about why that character was there. And I really like that. I don't know if they chose those actors, like if they actually auditioned real actors or if they nominated scare actors to play these roles. Either way, they did a fantastic job. You know, if whether it was improv or scripted, you know, there's no way to tell, which means they were doing great.
Well, they were doing both because there was some times where they would interact with people and you could tell it was completely improv.
There you go.
So, yeah, they were doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm. I liked the peek into, you know, a little bit of their folklore with, you know, the witches and the totems and everything like that. And then you got to see those characters wandering around. And if you you know, were there and you got the midnight show, then you got in a little extra something, something with some pyro and a little bit sort of a finale to the story. But from what I understand, they never like really completed that story. So yeah. It just kind of ended up, it ended and then.
Everybody stood around wondering if the show was over.
Yeah.
Like that was the problem. I think they needed something that really kind of finalized it.
Yeah, it was like ending a song in the middle of the last verse.
Yeah.
It just never actually closes.
Yeah.
And, you know, they know that. It's not like it was news. They just never got around to it, didn't know how to wrap it up. I don't know. But I'm sure that's something they'll address next year.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. But it was fun to watch. It was neat to see the pyro up there. And it's the thing that caught fire was something that caught your eye as you walked by earlier in the night as well.
Yeah, you're so kind of like, what's that thing up there?
Yeah, it ties everything together. I thought they did a good job.
Yeah, really cool.
Yeah, definitely on the right track.
And then as far as new mazes go, the kind of new one, also old one, was Trick or Treat Lights Out. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
I thought it was a blast. I loved that you got to hold something that you know, kind of influenced how you went through the venue. So it wasn't beautifully lit like usual. It was still lit, but it was a little bit dimmer. And you have a flashlight, and the flashlight, it changes depending on where you are in the venue. So as you go through, it's just a regular, not super bright, but you know, you can kind of see stuff that you point at with the flashlight, and then it starts to flicker, gets a little bit dimmer. At one point, it goes out entirely. It turns into a UV light, and you can see cool things scrolled on the walls. I mean, lots of layers going on.
And it vibrated, too.
And it did. It vibrated. You know? So I thought that it was a lot of fun. And first, maybe because the venue had been there for so long, I felt like the talent in there really knew what they were doing. And their timing was great. Every time that we went through there, it was, I mean, you know what's going on, especially after going through it so many times. I still got plenty of startle scares because their timing was good. At least it was where I was in our little conga line. And the finale was beautiful, also very well timed. I thought they did a great job.
Yeah, I liked it. I was a little worried when I found out they were giving flashlights to everybody because I was worried that there'd be too much light, right? Because you want it dark. Mm-hmm. But they did a really good job at you know, making sure that the flashlights were dim enough so that when he had, you know, 12 people in a room, it still wasn't overpowering. And yeah, I thought the whole thing was just amazing. That room with the dolls and the doll on the bed, mm-hmm. I think was one of the creepiest things I saw all year, because you walk in and that doll's standing there on the bed and you're just like, wait, is that a real little person? Yeah. Or is that a doll? Like, what's going on with this thing?
Yeah. That whole room is very well designed.
Yeah.
It's fun to look at. It's fun to walk through.
And I love the new facade. Like, the new facade was amazing. I love that they kind of went away from the campy and went much more sinister. Mm-hmm. And I love the new rooms because it was exactly the same layout. It was just kind of like you were discovering new rooms that existed in this house the whole time that you never saw before.
Yeah.
And like going into the backyard with the cellar doors that slammed up and down mm-hmm. with the chains on them. And I don't know, everything was just super cool.
My favorite room was the attic.
The attic was really amazing.
I mean, the gag that happens is awesome, but just that room itself, that feeling like you walk through it and you feel suddenly like you're three stories up. The way that they have the panels behind the windows.
Yeah.
It really does look like you have climbed up to the attic. And it like it's a little jarring because mm-hmm. suddenly you're like, wait a minute, I didn't climb any stairs, did I? Like just for a second, it really does have you suspend disbelief and you're three stories up.
Yeah.
So I thought that was very well done.
Yeah, it was super cool. Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else was new this year? We had Shadowlands was there last year, but
they changed a couple things around.
That was pretty cool.
Still as badass as always.
Yeah. Dark Ride.
Dark Ride.
Really long. Dark Ride was a long maze.
Was it?
Yeah, it felt really long.
Oh. I didn't feel like it was long as far as walking through it. I did feel like there was a whole lot of stuff to look at.
Yeah, Dark Ride was amazing. I loved the kind of the campiness of when you were in the dark ride portions, and then when you would go backstage, how dark and grim and gritty it got. Mm-hmm. And I loved my favorite room, I think, of all of Knott's Scary Farm was the dragon and the wizard room in Dark Ride. Uh-huh. Like that whole sequence with the wizard and the fighting the dragon and the dragon breathing fire and all that stuff was just so, so cool. Yeah. I don't know. I have a soft spot for animatronic dragons because the first animatronic I ever made was a dragon.
Aww.
And it breathed smoke and everything kind of like that, but not didn't look nearly as good.
I'm sure there were a few budget differences between yours and his. Yeah, the work, the detail that went into that maze in particular was so impressive and very memorable. I mean, it was gory enough to where, you know, you didn't forget that you were walking through a maze at Scary Farm, but if for split seconds, you would forget. Like, there's one scene in particular where you walk what, you know, it looks like you're on set, and then you go backstage, or you go behind the scenes at this ride, and you walk into a, it's like, what would you describe it? It's like a maintenance room.
Yeah.
And there's paint and binders and things that, like, it looked like if you were to walk into the shop backstage, it looked that used and you know, like it was actively someplace where somebody worked, and they had notebooks that had, like, there was like a venue on one of the notebooks, probably more, but I only saw the one. I think it may have been Trick or Treat.
Yeah, I think it was Trick or Treat.
It was like the tech manual for Trick or Treat on the shelf in this ride. And just little things like that, I just love from a design perspective.
Yeah.
That they, you know, tie the whole world together. And that's if you happen to catch it. And if you don't catch it, you still know it was there.
Mm-hmm.
You still saw those binders and like user manuals for like saws and all these different things that you would find in someone's shop. I just, for some reason, that room stands out to me.
Yeah. Super cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the finale, the Clown Hell finale was awesome. Mm-hmm. There was like so many people in there and the little slide they had and, I don't know. The whole thing was just cool, and I loved that it has, like, multiple levels, and it just made the room feel that much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Again, lots of layers.
Yeah, and then I love that the kind of, like, the king person's throne was made out of a shopping cart. It was, like, that was bent to look like a throne.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool idea. Yeah, it was just so cool.
You can see that definitely parts of their world were, you know, like parts out of our real world were pulled in to make this fantasy world, like turned everything into a caricature of itself.
Yeah.
But in such a fun way. And then like walking through, there's all these squished cans everywhere, and you can tell that they are artfully placed, but it just looks like there's just a bunch of crap laying everywhere, which would be if they lived back there, you know, just so clever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So good job.
And then Halloween Hootenanny on the log ride. Mm-hmm. It was the return of the log ride as an overlay, and there was monsters for Scary Farm, which was fun. Not too many. I think we only saw 3 or 4 on our trip through. We only did it once.
I didn't see any. I heard maybe 3.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually see them. You go by so fast. But it was adorable.
Yeah, I loved it. It was so cool. I'm glad they're overlaying the ride again. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder why they don't keep the witches keep on the mine train. Because it's like, it's just an overlay. They didn't need monsters in there. And it was just a cool kind of Halloween overlay. And they ran it during Spooky Farm during the day for the kids. Because we took Xander on it. We went to Spooky Farm and he loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems like they should bring that back and just, you know, just for something a little different on the mine ride.
Or maybe if not the witch, then something else. But something, some kind of, it's just so easy to put something in there because it's a slow moving ride. There's already so much scenery there. You know, why not throw something in?
Yeah. And if you're going to do something that told more of a story, whereas the mazes, it's really hard to do because it's like push people through.
Yeah.
The mine ride, there's such an opportunity to tell a story because there's spots where the train can slow down or stop even. Mm-hmm. And even if there's no monsters, if you just wanted to tell a really detailed, spooky story, you could totally do that on the mine ride. And that would be really cool.
What if you went through and kind of like dimmed the lights super dark and just had a couple of accent lights and then told that spooky story?
Yeah, kind of like you're at camp around the campfire and just this really cool, spooky story.
Yeah, just something. I mean, not so spooky where the kids are going to start crying, but something just to have that Halloween flavor.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's see. Oh, and Pumpkin Eater.
Oh, Pumpkin Eater, yes. Pumpkin Eater was amazing. I loved the queue line, that they themed the queue line, and they had the pumpkins that talked and kind of told you the story of Peter Pumpkin Eater.
Favorite queue line.
Yeah.
Maybe so of cool. Scary Farm ever. I mean, I don't recall seeing anything like that before.
They kind of sort of themed the Spec Ops queue that one year where it went that direction.
Well, they have like the monitors and stuff, but you still look like you're in line for the...
But this was way better.
It was just... It was very Disney-esque. It reminded me kind of Toontown.
Yeah.
Or Fantasyland.
And it's something that I think they should totally do on more of their mazes.
I wish. I mean, they had a spatial advantage there where they could hide it from day ops by closing those gates. So they were able to make it spooky and all that work that went into it. Maybe they got started earlier because it was backstage.
Yeah.
But the detail was really great. And, you know, immersing you in that story was really, really fun to experience from the guest perspective. But you're right. It would be really cool to have more attractions, have that flavor start to go in before you even go in the front door. And they do kind of, like, Red Barn has the audio that plays in the front. And it kind of gets you in the groove of what's going to happen when you get in there. And other venues do. They have music playing or whatever. But there was something special about those sets and the scale of the sets.
Well, it took me back, the pumpkins at least, took me back to a long time ago on the mine ride when they had the two skeletons sitting up on the ticket booth. And they would kind of like banter back and forth and tell jokes and make fun of the audience and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Or Hobbs Grove, the two girls.
Or Hobbs Grove, they have the two puppets, which are really cool.
Oh, the puppets.
Yeah, they're puppets, and one's a dragon, and I can't remember what the other one is.
I thought one was a crow.
It might be.
I don't recall now.
But that's super fun. Yeah. Just things like that to keep the audience entertained rather than just sitting in a queue line. Mm-hmm. You know, and it could be as easy as like the ones backstage, like Paranormal Inc. and Voodoo. They have room there to put stuff. I mean, they can make, you know, like the Voodoo one, which I don't know if it's going to be around next year. But if it is, I mean, they could totally do like a New Orleans style cemetery. So your queue line just kind of weaves through these above ground tombstones and stuff, you know?
Sure.
And,
well, Voodoo's blooper footprint, especially this year, lends itself to that. With the other one, not the asylum, what's it?
Paranormal.
It's a little harder because it's a warehouse and you don't like go to the side of it or anything. You just go straight up to the thing.
But it has a really cool facade. So, I mean,
it does. At least you've got that going.
Pull out like, you know.
Like more, like bring the facade out farther into the queue.
Yeah. I mean, even like the asylum that used to be there, it was, they pulled it out by doing fencing. Right. So they had the kind of like the rock work fence with the wrought iron looking, you know, top on top of it. Like they could do something where it feels like when you get into the queue line, you're starting your adventure as opposed to waiting for your adventure to start.
Yeah, waiting in the real world, waiting to go. It reminds me a little bit of when you build an attraction in Roller Coaster Tycoon and you can design the queue line.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit like that, where instead of just putting in the attraction and then having a regular queue line, you could actually put a cool looking queue line in there. Maybe, and it just adds a little bit of I don't know. It's just cool. It just that extra little layer of, okay, they gave this some thought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that it it costs money yeah. and it's time. And I'm sure there are many factors that go into making that decision.
But I think that's one thing that would just give another big leg up to Knott's over Universal. Because Universal will never be able to do that just because of where they put their mazes and how the queue lines have to run.
And how tiny those footprints are for the mazes.
Like Universal would never be able to do anything with their queue lines. So if Knott's wanted to really stand out, that's another thing they could do mm-hmm. to really set themselves apart from the competition.
Agreed. Just a little bit extra decor.
Yeah, and even adding in soundscapes to the queue lines that kind of help prep the story a little more.
Well, I think that would go along with if you had more involved queue lines.
Yeah.
Like the with the paranormal, if you had like a longer walkway or hallway or something, you could put the speakers in there.
Let's look at Paranormal Inc., for example. All right, so Paranormal Inc., you're joining a TV show / paranormal crew to mm-hmm. go on this paranormal investigation of the asylum, right? Mm-hmm. So where's all the TV equipment? Where's the van that holds all the equipment for the Paranormal Inc. crew?
Where's craft services?
Where's the TVs that monitor everything that's happening inside? I know they had them in the lobby, mm-hmm. but pull that stuff out to the queue line. So while you're waiting in the queue line, you have all these monitors, you know.
And you can even have actors.
Showing what's going on,
yep.
you know, inside the attraction mm-hmm. and maybe like playing with, you know, because it's building that excitement to get inside that attraction.
And it's more of a perspective. When you walk in, you're not walking in like the moment before.
Yeah.
The event happens, you're walking in as a crew member.
Yes.
You know, watching people walk by with, you know, a thing full of coffee for all the people, like if they just went on an errand, or, you know, guys walking around with like the belts with the millions of tape rolls mm-hmm. on them, you know, like stuff like that.
And that is one thing that I have to give to Universal is when on their really, really busy nights, if you go, they usually have people out in those 3-hour queue lines. Mm-hmm. Trying to entertain the line, at least.
Yeah.
They didn't see it that much this year other than Insidious.
But they also didn't wait in too many long lines.
No, but in years past, like, what was that? They had the From Dusk Till Dawn TV show mm-hmm. maze. And they had characters from the show out in the queue line. And usually if you see them, too, there's, like, you can check the Universal Twitter and, like, if there's like a password, and they'll be like, find this character mm-hmm. and tell them the password, and you usually get like a cool little treat of some kind, which is a cool thing to do.
Did they have any sort of app or anything like interactive at Scary Farm this year?
I don't think interactive, but they just had the wait time posted okay. on the Knott's app. But yeah, I don't know. I think the queue lines is one place where Knott's could really shine. Especially with how good they did Pumpkin Eaters.
Pumpkin Eater. There yeah. we go. I'm like, what were we talking about? Pumpkin Eater. Yay. So this yeah. is a Dan Miller maze.
Yeah, Dan Miller.
And it's very Dan Miller-y. It's cartoony. It's bloody and gross.
Yep.
And wonderful.
Yeah, he has a very kind of, I want to say he has kind of a comic book-esque style yeah. to his design.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to describe it.
Yeah.
It's realistic, but it's like hyper-realistic almost. It is very, very comic booky.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to put it. But it was gross, and it involved many senses.
Yeah, there were some great rooms in there. Like when you were inside the pumpkin, they had that gross, like gooey.
The pumpkin guts.
Guts in there, which mm-hmm. was great. And then they had that room that kind of like, the walls and the ceiling kind of shifted around.
Oh, yeah. That was neat. That was yeah. a nice gag. There was a lot of fun stuff in there. And not to say that it, you know, has gone astray in the past, but this maze in particular of his was very linear in its story. Mm-hmm. It was very easy to know where you were in the story going from one room to the next room. And I think that, I don't know if there was intentionally extra focus on that, but it was done very well this year.
Yeah, it was.
It made all the sense. Like every room that you were going into, you could see where you were in that tale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that might also be helped by the setup of the queue line, too.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. And maybe knowing the story a little.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was a little bit more tangible, but I thought it was very well executed.
It was one of those mazes where I left and I kind of wished it was a little longer. Like, I didn't want it to end yet. Like, I wanted more.
That what's funny is I think that one felt longer, but not because like I got bored, but because I felt like there was a lot to do. I felt like there were a lot of steps to take. And maybe that's just that the footprint back there is a little longer. It's hard to tell because you wind around and, you know, it's dark. How can you tell how far you go? Mm-hmm. But I thought that it was great. And then the weird finale panel thing that you stand on that just shakes every single cell in your body. I was like, ugh. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was super cool.
Yeah. I mean, that may be the only thing that I wasn't exactly sure, like, how that played into anything, but it didn't really need to.
Yeah.
It was just a weird thing. But it was fun and memorable.
Totally.
Yeah. And the costumes in that one were beautiful.
So not Scary Farm this year. What do you think about it overall?
I think they leveled up.
I think they totally leveled up, too. It's been, I think it was one of the best years Not Scary Farm has had in, gosh, maybe like 10 years or so. Like, it's been a long time since Knott's has had such a strong year.
Now, I agree. But I agree that their mazes were the strongest that they have ever been. And also the new Scare Zone is doing pretty good. As far as Ghost Town itself, not its strongest year.
No.
And I don't think that's the talent's fault. I think that was the mix of trying new things, trying a new footprint, new lighting, new, you know, music and everything. Maybe it was that we went on Thursdays. I don't know what it was.
Well, the first night we went was the Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
So it should
But it
have
was
been
also
popping.
Opening. It was opening weekend, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but like it, I will always be fond of Ghost Town the most out of any scare zone in any park on any continent.
Yeah.
Ghost Town is my home. You know, so I love it to death.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed it was a little, I don't even know how to explain it. It was like,
it felt sparse. Like, you got waves of monsters every once in a while, but
yeah,
it didn't feel as densely packed with monsters. And I don't know, maybe they cut down on the amount of monsters because they cut down the footprint.
Maybe. I feel like I didn't feel as much excitement from the monsters that I usually feel.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have a couple of theories, and I've heard a couple of theories, but, you know, I put those aside. But, you know, the end result was it wasn't on fire. I didn't feel like Ghost Town was, like, the legendary Ghost Town.
On the other side of the scale, The Hollows was really good acting-wise, I want to say. But as far as energy and just pure going after it, I have to give it to Fiesta Village.
Yeah.
Like, every time we went through there, the talent was just firing on all cylinders.
Yep. Every attempt was made. But,
and it's,
you know,
so rare for me to get a good scare in a scare zone. And one of the girls got me so good.
I remember.
One of the times we went through there, like, ridiculously good.
I was doubled over laughing so hard.
So hats off to that girl.
That was magic.
Like, holy crap. Like,
oh, that was so funny.
One of the best scares I think I had all season.
It was lovely. Like, you thought you were free. Like, you could see the guard drop and then the scare happened.
Yep. It was just so perfect.
So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember her costume. It was a taller gal right at the end, right before you get over to where it turns into Carnival.
Yeah, it was right before the railroad tracks.
Yeah, she had a long gray dress on.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
So whoever that was, awesome to you.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to
because,
scare Casey.
Yeah, I don't get scared at all. And that one was awesome. So yeah, that was Knott's. Knott's was fun. Loved
it. It was Knott's.
How
weird is it, though, going every year and knowing less and less people?
It is a little weird. Let's talk about something that I didn't do, but you did do. Sliders Unite.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you couldn't go. We traded places this year.
Yeah, see, I went last year and then
I couldn't
and
work.
You were on Xander duty, and then this year I took Xander duty and you went.
I got to slide.
You got to be a cast member at Dark Harbor for a night. So tell me all about it. What was it like?
It was neat. So I haven't done a whole lot of venues, like scare acting in different places in my life. So this was maybe the fourth place I'd ever been a monster. Let's think. I've got Scary Farm, Sinister Point, Coffin Creek, Oh, Huntington Haunt.
Huntington Haunt.
And this. So this was my fifth. And only, like, the third as a slider. And I also hadn't been, I haven't been a monster in a long time. So all of this was, like, it was kind of new all over again. And, but it was really different than anything I had done before. It's nothing like getting ready at Scary Farm. At Scary Farm, you've got either you clock in and get your mask on, or you've got a makeup time and you have to be there at the same time every day. This place is more, you wait in an area and they call you back and you just go to the next artist that's available. It's kind of like I don't know how they figure it out, but the guy David in charge, like, he has like 15 plates spinning at once and he knows the status of all of those plates. It's awesome watching that man work. But like, and he remembers your name and like, it was really cool. But, he knew where everybody was and what makeup artists were ready to take them and everything. And they treated us so well. They were so sweet to us. I mean, we come in just for this one night. Uh-huh. And, you know, with the label Decade Brigade, some people think, and, you know, maybe members have earned it in the past, but they've got kind of an ego. And I don't feel like our group did, but, I, you know, was concerned that maybe that would be like something that, like a preemptive thought that maybe they think that we think our shit don't stink or whatever. But everyone was super cool to us. And, you know, they were humble and we were humble and we were just like laughing and smiling. And my makeup artist was awesome.
Yeah.
She was so sweet. And like, she only had this one picture to go by. And, you know, she kind of took it and made it her own, but it was awesome for what it was.
Yeah. And it looked really good.
Yeah. And she was raving. She's like, I love the Decade Brigade. And, you know, I love you guys. I'm so glad you're here. And then I was gushing, like, I'm so glad we're here. This is so cool. Yada, yada. So big old love fest. We got ready in a tent backstage mm-hmm. with everybody. And it was very much a family affair in the way that Scary Farm is, where y'all get ready together and laugh and make jokes and, you know, snack if you got them. And then once you get out into the streets, it turns into like nothing you've ever done before. So they have an intro, which we talked about a little bit.
Guest perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from the monster perspective, being on the other side of that fence, you're kind of like, you're just running, like kind of jumping in place, getting warmed up, kind of like, you know, getting yourself amped and ready for when they open those doors. But you look behind you and you're like, the whole cast is behind you.
Yeah.
Like ready to do this thing. And the only reason we were up front is because they do like this little mini sliding thing right when they open the gates so that you can see the sliders go by and then they bum rush the guests as they bum rush you to get to the mm-hmm. attractions. So we were just like getting warmed up and everything. And it was just really fun to be having done it from the guest perspective a couple weeks earlier, being on the other side of that fence, hearing the spiel go on up where the captain and the lady and yeah. they're all talking about their stuff and like being on the other side, getting ready to be the monster was just kind of a surreal thing. Like it was really exciting to be able to participate in that for that one night.
That's cool.
And so the gates open, you do the sliding thing. We kind of like slide a little bit like east to west. We traded places and then we slid at the guests as they came in. And then after that, we were all free to just be street characters. So we just walked laps and the layout of the place is maybe the size of like what Ghost Town used to be.
Yeah.
Would that be accurate?
Yeah, about that size, yeah.
So, like, it's a good size, but you could run a lap in, like, 3 minutes and then, like, do it again.
Yeah, because there's not a lot of obstacles in that space. It's kind of like just three little roads that cut through it.
Yeah, it's like a, I don't know, it's a little like a figure eight.
Yeah.
A couple of them, like, stacked next to each other. So, it's really easy to cover a lot of ground quickly. But it was incredibly fun. The monsters that work there all the time know the area really well, but they played well with others. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they weren't used to is having the quantity of capable sliders because they're used to having their amount of dudes and girls mm-hmm. and have suddenly their number has quadrupled.
Yeah.
And so whether they take the same slides as they usually would or usually they, you know, you just have a pattern that you develop and I know that us being there totally botched up that pattern.
Yeah.
And so, you know, near misses happened. Nobody got hurt while we were there. But we had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun tag teaming with monsters and, you know, monsters that I had never worked with before and getting really good scares and then just hanging out a lot at the entrance. So when that big thing happens and then the guests kind of come in and then after that, the guests kind of trickle in and not a whole lot of monsters hang out at the entrance. So I hung out at the entrance and I had a really good time and I got to see, you know, faces that I recognized as they would come in to watch the show.
That's cool.
So it was a lot of fun. It felt great to run around and slide and scare and, you know, be silly and just not care for a night and just be crazy. So the reason that we were guests at Queen Mary was to perform in a show called Sliders Unite 2, Hell at the Harbor. You should hear the conversation of coming up with that name. There are some wonderful names that this show almost was. But yeah. We settled on a grown-up-ish title of Hell at the Harbor. So we got to practice twice before our event. Which is not enough, but we really did the best we could with what we had.
Yeah.
And we squeezed out every moment that we could to make a show. And I think that if you didn't realize that we only had 2 weeks, you wouldn't have known. It was a show with a lot of monsters.
Yeah.
And a lot of stunts and a lot of choreographed stunts. And I mean, while accidents happened, I really do have to give props to these monsters who don't choreograph like the Decade Brigade does. They don't practice like they do. Yet they stepped up and they remembered their choreography for the most part. Right? I mean, like I said, accidents did happen, but they were in the minority. Like, these kids really pulled it together. And I know that the Queen Mary guys were accustomed to a little bit of choreography, not 20 minutes worth, but, you know, they understood the concept. But there are other monsters there who had never done anything like that before.
Yeah.
Those are the ones who really stepped it up and made it into something, like, they were a
which
very
cool
big part of it.
Because, like, Six Flags, they've never done anything at that level. So it'll be cool to see if they take that back to Six Flags next year and push what they're doing there.
I really hope so. I mean, I hope that everybody does. I know that a lot of monsters hadn't really flexed those kind of muscles before then.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could see them leveling up as the practices went on and as the shows went on. The confidence level got higher. Mm-hmm. You know, their level of excitement got higher. And I think that the shows were – I mean, of course we could have done better. I wish we had more time to practice, all that good stuff. But I think that they were a success.
Yeah.
From the guest perspective, we heard nothing but good things.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was a whole lot of fun. It was exhausting. The next day I couldn't walk. I mean, I was laid out after recovering from that. But it was definitely a time to remember. I'm really glad. I'm really grateful that I got to be a part of it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then something that we both did together, and it was actually my first time and your first time sliding together.
Oh, yes.
We have never actually slid together in an entertainment situation.
Didn't we slide together at Huntington Haunt, like,
no,
once?
No, I didn't slide.
You weren't sliding then?
No.
And I only slid that one day.
Yeah.
After I had fallen. That was, remember, it, I fell down at work because I went to kneel on my chair and the chair left.
Yeah.
And I knelt on the floor with my full force and almost dislocated my knee.
Yeah.
That was the week before Huntington Haunt opened. So I was trying to slide with like a swollen knee.
So
anyway, I digress.
So we did an event for Snapchat, which was awesome.
That was fun.
And we got a slide. Only a couple of us from the Decay Brigade went. And it was my first time sliding in something like a lot of years.
It was many years. Well, you had been practicing with us when we met at the rink. So yeah. It's not like you were totally, you know, green. But it was a lot of work to be thrown into like that. And like the rest of us had been conditioning for months.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk about stepping it up. You definitely stepped it up. And your mask looked so good. Your whole outfit looked so good.
I had fun.
You looked great.
Yeah. It was fun. It was nice to get out there and scare and slide and stuff because I haven't done that in so long.
You looked like you were having a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was having a blast.
Yeah. It was a great time. It was really interesting to do something like that, like total opposite from what the Decade Brigade usually does.
Yeah, so to give you guys an idea of this event. So it was an event for Snapchat employees and their significant others and and kind of like whatever the YouTuber version of a Snapchat person is, like famous Snapchatters. Mm-hmm. And then there was also models and celebrities of some kind.
Sure. Like some any ilk. Other red carpet event
yeah. kind of thing. So something like, God, I don't even know. What did they say, like 4,000 people total?
Yes.
I think.
I believe so.
And it was on the sound. It was on a studio lot.
Mm-hmm. On a sound stage. Well, yeah, our performance was on the soundstage.
They rented out like 3 sound stages on the studio lot. And then they had kind of like little scare zones connecting the sound stages. Mm-hmm. And then where we were, there was like the sound stage at the very back, which housed half of it housed a haunted house that mm-hmm. they built for the event. And the front half was kind of like the queue line, which we worked the queue line. And then we had like a little spot where we could do, you know, like little mini kind of slider shows.
Mm. A bit of a runway.
Yeah. And it was fun. It was super cool.
The scope of the event was quite impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, this was one of those things where their organizers spared no expense to make this a very, very detailed and fancy and cool. Yeah.
When I heard how much money this thing cost, which I'm not going to tell you guys because I'm sure it's not public information, but I did hear how much money this thing cost and I was blown away by how much they spent.
Actually,
for this party.
I wasn't surprised. I mean, I was surprised by the dollar amount alone, but I wasn't surprised when looking at the scope of the whole event.
Yeah.
Because of where it was and what they had as their entertainment mm-hmm. and what the decor looked like and, you know, that whole spared no expense kind of vibe to it. And, you know, it was well done. What I thought was hilarious though, like, so I do extra work every now and then. And the last couple times I've done extra work, I go to this specific lot in West Hollywood. And it's called The Lot, of all places. And, like, the Oprah Winfrey thing is right there.
Yeah, Oprah's own network studio or offices are on that lot.
And I think maybe Nerdist. I think Nerdist records on that lot, too. Or at least they used to. Yeah. And there's, like, a Target there and everything like that. So I used to shoot Tycoon when we did Last Tycoon was out there. And so we're driving to this venue. We get off on Santa Monica. I'm like, oh, I've been here before. And then, you know, take pictures of the Hollywood sign. And we drive up to this lot. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. It was the same freaking lot of all the studio lots in all of Hollywood. We end up at the same goddamn lot that I had already been to. I was like, why?
Now, it was actually good that you had been there because you knew where all the secret bathrooms were.
Yes, I did. I did know where all of the bathrooms were. Yeah. And what was really cool is when we were walking there, we had already seen some episodes of Tycoon had aired already.
So and there's a lot of spots where they filmed. We're like, I remember this location. Yep. They shot this right here.
And there's a shot where they're on the lot at Brady and whatever studios where you can see the bathrooms that we went to.
Yeah. So they go into the room. So for those that watch it or are curious about it, the characters go in, you see them walk into a building and then they open a door to go onto a soundstage. They go into the soundstage and it's the Sally Sweet soundstage. She's kind of like a
Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple type character. Mm-hmm. So, but as they open the door to go into the soundstage, right on the left is the bathrooms that we would go into.
Yep. So they filmed right on that lot.
Yeah.
I'm like, I love that stuff because I love Hollywood. I love LA. Just like that's crack to me. Mm-hmm. I just love seeing, you know, the stuff that, you know, the art imitating life, seeing where that happened. And so being there and be like, oh my God, this is where it was just stupid awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. So that was a fun little layer to add on to, like an epic night on its own.
Yeah.
Just being totally there awesome. And getting to scare and slide and I only got hit once, and it was by accident. So that was, you know, much better than a night at Scary Farm, where I would have been intentionally smacked dozens of times. Maybe not dozens.
It was super fun.
It was a really good time.
Trying to think of what else. Did you do anything else that I didn't do? I'm trying to think.
As far as, like, scaring or Halloween-related stuff? I don't think so. We wrapped we wrapped Coffin Creek, and it was pretty successful.
Yeah, Coffin Creek went really well, I think. We got pretty good reviews, I think.
We did get, you know what? We got really good reviews. People really freaking loved the event this year. And which is weird from our perspective because we felt like we pulled everything out of our butts. But we kind of did. But like it came together.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like everything that you do, it's ridiculously stressful. And then somehow the day before the thing happens, it just all falls into place.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy crap, we did it.
Yeah. And like opening night happened and nothing catastrophic happened. Like weird things happen. Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to do Maze Manager like ever again. It was stressful in a way that I did not.
It's a whole different beast than being a scare actor for sure.
It is. It's like a scare actor. It's like you get to focus on a character and where you are in the story and all this. It's so glorified. And then like you step outside of that and it's like suddenly you have to worry about stupid stuff. And like, oh, this isn't as fun. Yeah. But I mean, it was a good experience. It was a learning experience. Xander got to drive the crap out of a golf cart and he was the happiest boy ever. So he had a really good time. Mm-hmm. I mean, walking away from it, I'm glad we did it.
Yeah, totally.
It was weird and exhausting and educational. But I'm glad
to say, like, running a haunt versus acting in a haunt. I have to think, I'm kind of thinking that running the haunt is a slightly more exhausting than actually being an actor in a haunt.
It's mentally exhausting.
Because it's mentally exhausting. And then also, like, the amount of time that you put in. Because, you know, we're there 2 hours before the actor shows up. And then we're there 2 hours after they leave. You know, especially for, like, my attraction, The Trail. Like, the setup and teardown process of that every single night was so intricate. You know, it wasn't like other mazes where it's like you can just go to the power station and throw the switch and everything shut down. Like, you know, we're out in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, because ours was not like that.
And you know, there was like stuff I had to walk the whole thing and like turn off lights the whole way and then
deal with the boy.
Audio and wild animals and all kinds of stuff going on out there.
Yeah, your venue was unique for sure. It was like the maze is up high, like where we were. It wasn't that bad. I mean, you walked it one more time to make sure the actors were gone, and then you flicked a switch and then locked a couple padlocks.
Yeah,
it was way more simple. But yours was much more labor intensive and more intricate. Like you really had to know where everything was and how it plugged in, and that's what made it so hard. The night that we were gone, is you had to train somebody, you know, super quick on all of the stuff that you do to set up. And like for me, I just had to make sure, like, hey, make sure people take breaks. Okay, bye. Like super easy. Yours was like,
I had to build a whole two-day training process.
Yeah.
On how to, because the thing is all my lights out there were battery powered. If you missed a light and it was left on for the entire day, that light was dead the next day. So it's like, if you miss something, you were screwed because some of those lights were safety lights and they had to be in place.
And the batteries
weren't. Otherwise, we couldn't open the attraction.
They weren't like typical batteries. They were like bizarre watch battery type things.
Yeah.
So it was super hard to replace them.
Yeah. So there was a lot of intricacy in getting that thing going every night and tearing it down every night. But, you know. Yeah.
But that was it. It shouldn't have to be that way, but it was because of the risk of, because it was exposed and the risk of vandalism and theft and all sorts of things that were beyond our control.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, there's no way to lock it up. So it's one of those things where it's in out in the open.
Yeah. Something to consider. That venue is so special because it has that outdoor, creepy, walking around in nature look to it, but at the same time, there's no gates, there's no locks, there's no cameras. Their security won't go back there because they were too scared. You know, there's a wild boar and millions of deadly spiders. You know, it pros and cons, right?
Exactly.
So, but you know, luckily the guest doesn't have to experience any of that. They just walk through, get the shit scared out of them, and walk away feeling like they had a good time.
Yep.
And hopefully they did that.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so, too. Also, the lady up at the village makes a damn good funnel cake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a piece of one once.
Just once?
Yeah.
Once Xander figured out he could drive the cart, I went up there a lot.
Really?
Yeah, he wanted to drive.
Like funnel cake, run.
I guess they're going for funnel cake. I don't know.
And then the only thing that I did that you didn't do, well.
I was Into the Black, right?
Yeah, Into the Black, I think.
You did a podcast on that one, a solo podcast.
Yeah, I did. Right? A little short one. Did you listen to it?
No.
I'm such a bad one.
She didn't listen to it, guys. Can you believe that?
It's in my playlist. That? I just haven't pressed play on it yet.
We see what the priorities are.
Look, to be fair, I actually don't listen to our podcast, but it's not because of you. It's because I hate listening to me. So I don't.
Well, see, there's
listen
no excuse on that one because you weren't on it.
I know. I know. I got to.
But Into the Black was awesome. Yeah. And now that it's over, I think it's over.
It is. Larry Bones just posted a picture of his entire workshop is filled with flats.
Nice. Okay, good. So now that it's over, is there anything you want to know about it? Because we can spoil the crap out of it now.
No, I don't know. Because what if he wants to use some of those for next year? I don't want to. Well, I should probably have done my own due diligence and listened to the damn podcast. But no, I really wish I could have gone to this one because I love Larry. And he's so creative and so fun. I knew that this was going to be something special. And I yes. really wish that I could have been there.
It was special. It was awesome. I'll say that. Well, I went into it blind on purpose. The only thing I did was watch the movie that they made because everybody said, watch the movie before you go.
That was the one they played at Midsummer?
Yes. They debuted it at Midsummer.
Okay.
But it's on YouTube, so you can just look it up and watch it.
Okay. I listened to, because we listened to the audio of somebody's, who, I think we listened to the audio of their panel at
I think so,
Midsummer
yeah.
when we were in Texas.
That's right. Yeah, we did. Yeah,
in podcast form.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't give away really anything in the maze,
mm-hmm.
but it sets up the story. So the story is about the Black family, and they're kind of like they worship the devil, I guess, or something. And so some craziness happens, and this house that they own, the Black House, which is why it's called Into the Black, it disappears. And so everybody knows the story of the Black family and the spookiness, but nobody can find the house because nobody can see the house. So,
is it like there's a crater there, like in Rick and Morty?
It's just invisible, okay. Let's just say. And so this group of paranormal investigators that are from a local college, go out on an expedition to try to find this house and settle this, you know, historic missing thing, and find out what really happened. And so they, of course, find the house and then shit gets crazy.
So how do they find the house if nobody else could?
Because apparently you can find it occasionally.
When it wants to be found?
I guess, yeah.
Okay.
So then, fast forward to you find the house, and you go in the house, and shit gets crazy.
Cool.
The really cool thing that they had going for it was the lighting, which was slightly ruined because it was the middle of the afternoon when I went, and so there was, like, light coming in, and it was a little messed up. But the lighting was really cool. They had this effect where... You know, there was like, it's an old house, so they had candles everywhere to light it, right? So they had all these candles all over the rooms and stuff. And as you would go through, candles would just go out. And then, so you're like in the dark. And then you'd see like a candle flicker on in the distance, and you'd like, okay, I'm going to walk towards that candle.
So cool.
And so the whole thing is the house, it's almost like the house is alive and it's leading you to something.
You know, what's interesting is, there was a little bit of that in season – hopefully this isn't a spoiler of any kind, but there's a little bit of that in season 2 of Stranger Things where the lights lead you.
Spoiler alert.
Hopefully not. I don't think it is.
I don't remember anything like that though, so.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. You really don't remember that?
No.
Okay. I'll tell you about it after.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
But speaking of Stranger Things too, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, we binged it in 2 days.
2 days, yeah. Super cool. And we are over an hour.
Oops.
But we have one last thing. Someone sent in a video for Veronica to watch.
Yay!
I love when people send in videos. So if you want to send us a video, you can shoot it to us as a message on Facebook, and you can just, like, you know, paste the URL for the video on YouTube or wherever it's found. Now, to set the stage for this video, it is a security camera in a high school. And so it's just kind of, it just sits there, and then you're going to see some stuff. So we're going to post this on the talesfromthefog.weebly.com along with the blog post for this episode. So you can follow along with us if you want. So we're going to go ahead and watch it right now, and I'll try to help talk you through what's going on here.
All right. So we're looking at just a hallway. Right?
Yeah, and as you can tell, this was as of January of this year, so this is fresh video.
Okay. I'm trying to wiggle.
It looks like 3:07 a.m., I'm assuming, because if this
on January 10th. Whoa! Hang on. I was distracted by looking at the stupid timestamp. I'm going to go back. Okay.
All right, went back.
Door just opened. Oh, snap.
It slammed shut hard, too. Hard. Huh?
Like, supernaturally hard.
Yeah, like, I don't even think you could pull it that hard with a string. Like, that was
You'd have to have, like, five people pulling hard. It. Oh! Oh!
So now one of the lockers is kind of, like, banging around and rocking.
Those are not lightweight things.
No, that's what's so crazy about this video.
What the fuck?
So now a locker basically just exploded open and shit went flying everywhere. And it kind of sounds like there's footsteps going around. Like, you can't really see anything going on, but it sounds like...
I just hear ticking.
Yeah, there's like a ticking or a footstep. Okay. So now there was like one of those caution wet signs, like, chilling up, and it just went flying across the room.
And oh, my God!
And then that's the video. That's the end of it. So... That was pretty good, right?
That was the best one we've been sent.
So what do you think about this? What are your thoughts on this video?
I don't know. Oh my God.
I think Veronica just got the best scare of the Halloween season. She is dying.
I can't breathe. Okay. Whew. Oh my God. I need to rewatch it.
You want to rewatch it?
I have to. Okay. So now that I know what's going to happen, now I need to put my skeptic glasses on.
Okay. Ooh, so now we're going to rewatch it with our skeptic glasses on. So everybody put your skeptic glasses on.
Oh my God. That's so insane. Okay.
All right. So we're rewatching.
All right. Can I put it a little bit closer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. All right. Is it playing?
Yeah, it should be.
No, because it's still the scene from before. Okay.
There it goes.
All right, so we got I'm looking, right now I'm looking to...
See, now you know the order, so it's going to be door.
The door
locker,
opens.
Locker.
Yeah, so it opens.
Slicing.
It slams, like, super, super hard and super quick. So there's like a weird sleeve hanging out behind these lockers, which is unusual. Like, why would there be something behind? See? Right there? Like, what is that?
I don't know. It looks like it's something hanging on the pipe.
Yeah. So, it's that one's explainable. The door is explainable. This is a little weird. Like, I don't see a lock on this one. Maybe it's just too dark. I can't see.
So you mean the locker?
Yeah, when the locker opens and it just flings open. But like when it opens, you don't see anything that could have flung the door open. Like usually Like, wouldn't there be a piston or something hiding in there that would pull it?
Yeah, and then also all the stuff flying out of it, you would think you would see something moving in there to kick it out.
Yeah, and you hear the clicking. Okay,
the
I need
to...
The
way that that thing moves is odd.
That's what I want to rewatch. I want to see... Oops, did I make it start over? I want to see the way that the wet floor sign moves. It's like flipped up from inside it.
Yeah, it's just, it's super weird how it moves. Like,
it doesn't look like it's been kicked or pulled or anything.
It's like someone grabbed it from the bottom and flipped it in the air.
Yeah.
But
there's... I mean,
so there would have to be a string coming from like the ceiling or something to like yank it, but then it also slides away from. I don't know. It's weird. It's definitely a weird video.
Looking from, so just that sign, like from a physics perspective, like it takes a lot of force to move mass with a lot of mass, a lot of weight, right?
Yeah.
That thing is not light. It's not paperweight. It moves as if it was made of foam. It mm-hmm. moves like it weighs nothing. So, like, for someone just to pick it up and flick it, it wouldn't move that fast.
No.
Why the hell does it move so fast?
Well, that and then the door, too.
The door is the same thing. Like, it takes a lot of...
The amount of force that it's fleeing shut at is just ridiculous.
Let's go back to...
Like the locker moving...
So it opens kind of slowly, right? It opens slowly. Not terribly slowly, really. But it shuts very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Unnaturally quickly.
Like, I can't even think of how... I mean, even if you had a bunch of people pulling a rope, I don't know if you could shut it like that.
I think if you had, like, three people pulling on the same rope, you could do it. And, like, why didn't they knock it over? Or whatever is moving it. And how did they get back there? And it's weird. Like, this locker is really hard to get to.
Yeah.
Like, that first row of lockers. I could see, like, it's just paper stacked. If you open it quickly, it's going to create a little bit of a vacuum, and I could see the papers flying out.
Or they could have stacked it up against the door.
Yeah.
So that when they flung it, it fell out. But it kind of comes out with force, because look, this piece is like goes like four or 5 feet away.
I see. Okay. So it looked, this leg got pulled in off camera over here. So that one does seem a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it pulled up, but it looks like maybe, so if the sign's like 2 feet high, maybe the string is like just below.
Looped over it.
So yeah, and they pulled straight towards them and it ended up lifting it, what looked like lifting it up, but it really didn't go up. It just kind of flipped out.
Mm-hmm.
So like you could explain away all of them, but that doesn't take away how freaking awesome that was. Like that was definitely the scariest one.
That's awesome.
That we've come across. That was great.
All right. So that's a good one, guys. Watch it.
That was a lot of fun. I mean, you could explain it all away, but I mean, you could explain anything.
Yeah.
If you justify hard enough. You know, that one was fun.
All right. And so that's going to do it for us tonight. So I guess overall with the video, real or fake?
It was fake, but it was fun.
Okay.
It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. So you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Tales from the Fog. You can go to our website, talesfromthefog.weebly.com, where we'll have this awesome but fake video for you to watch. And you can tell us if you think it's fake or real. You can follow Veronica on Instagram at
Veronica Voices.
And subscribe to the Decayed Brigade YouTube channel at mm-hmm. Decayed Brigade Official.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other Decayed Brigade stuff at Decayed Brigade Official, Instagram, Facebook. I'm trying to think of what else is going on. Sinister Point just posted something Christmassy going on. I don't think it's a maze, because it's only one night and it's at the Riverside something something.
Municipal something.
Something.
And it's so, teamed up with Live Nation. Don't yeah. They usually do concerts?
So, yeah, Live Nation's usually a concert venue and they own Ticketmaster and all that stuff. So who knows what it is? I tried all the different venues I could to find out what this thing actually is so we could talk about it. And there's absolutely no information out there about it other than tickets are on sale now. So.
Okay, then.
There's that. Fear Farm sent us a video. You can see it on our Facebook page. But they are doing a Krampus Christmas haunted attraction. Mm-hmm. It looks pretty cool. It's in conjunction with their other haunt that they also own in Texas, which is also doing the same theme, Krampus Christmas holiday haunt. Looks really cool. The video is awesome.
Yeah.
I wish I could go out to Phoenix to check this thing out in December because it looks fun.
I wish we could.
But for those of you guys out there in the Phoenix or Arizona area, go out to Fear Farm and check us out. Check it out. Tell us what you thought. Anything else to plug?
No events coming up. We do in future episodes need to talk about our American Ninja progress.
Yeah.
We don't have time in this episode, but we will address it later.
Yeah, maybe next time.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thanks for joining us on this Halloween hangover episode. Because, boy, are we hungover from Halloween. But
yep.
Had a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
And can't wait till next year.
Yeah.
But until next time, guys, we'll see you in the fog.
Bye, guys.
Bye.